And Vic is gone. All right, let's get started and world to do. Today is Sunday morning, November 18th already, 2016. And in New York they had a bad few days of weather and we had some light rain, but Baruch Hashem, today it's very nice. I want to say good morning to my students in front of me and to all those listening. A few interesting follow-ups to things we said in class. I mentioned that David Newman from Cleveland, that's your relative by marriage, that his father identified bodies and later went to the Rabbanim so that their wife should not remain Agunad after the Shoah. So here's the story. His father was not in a concentration camp. His father was in a forced labor camp, the Weiss-Manfred Works, it was called. There's a whole article in the Wikipedia, and the Jews were forced to work there in Hungary, for the good of the Austro, of the Hungarian army that cooperated with the Nazis, Yimach Shmam. And during one of the Allied bombings, my father Zal buried about 20. Only one body was Shalem. He recorded the names, and after the war, he presented the list to the Budapest Basin. And that's the story about his father. The interesting pictures here where his father goes back three different times to where he lived, where he survived the war, and the story that catches up with all of us, with the Holocaust and survivors. I also want to mention, we spoke about, I think it was in the other class, we spoke about Rabbi Yosef Adler. Rabbi Yosef Adler was the founder and the Rosh Yeshiva of Masiftet Teferet Yerushalayim on the east side.
Drowned.
And right, and here's the story. He was nifter, I said he drowned, I was correct. He was nifter when he went to the mikvah at the Atlantic Ocean in Far Rockaway very early in the morning, before there were any people or lifeguards. There was a storm, but he was a good swimmer. However, the ordinary storm turned out to include a downburst, like a tornado, with undirectional winds, about 90 miles an hour. His body was found several hours later and miles away. So what a sad story. And that's exactly when Reb Moshe came to the yeshiva, and later Reb Moshe becomes the dominant figure there. I also want to mention, and this is for Nachum Lamb, who I trust is listening, it talks about Rav Yosef Adler. This is the father of the conservative rabbi who later was one of the three people who permitted the driving to shul on Shabbos. That was his son in the big shul in Detroit,
Morris
Adler. And it talks about his father, that his father's mother's maiden name was Gelfand, G-E-L-F-A-N-D. And the Nachum Lamb's mother's maiden name is Gelfand. I wonder if it's any relative. I have the information sent to me from the Kfarim website. All right. Also, what we mentioned in class, and Yitz asked the question, so Nachum Lamb writes that he once attended a lecture by Rabbi Schnorr Zalman Lehman, Professor Lehman, or how does he pronounce it? Lyman, I should say. Professor Lyman of Bernard Rebel Graduate School of the City University System, and Rabbi Lyman claimed that according to Poskim, you could be Yotzei Shmayim Mikra and Echad Targum with Mendelssohn's translation. Not only Rashi's translation, but Mendelssohn's translation. And if anyone permitted Mendelssohn's translation, Alachat Kama V'Kama with Rab Hirsch's translation, certainly with the Rub's commentary. Nachum writes about his father, my classmate Avram Lamb, that my father felt it was very important to do Shnayim Mikra Echad Targum because the Targum will help the youngsters understand Gemara better. And there is truth to it. I've often felt that keeping the Kaddish in Aramaic and keeping the Ketuvah in Aramaic It always helps with Gemara. Finally, this is for Moshe. This is dealing with the prenuptial and the operation. I'll give it this to you. I blew it up. It's a little bit easier to read. But I think this is a semi-farce. I think what they're writing about is something way, way before the prenuptial. It goes back to the 30s. I lectured. Yeah, the people signed on to the additional, but it shows you there's no real depth of thinking. There's a big difference between these proposals and the 1930 proposals and the 1950 proposals. But be it as it may, the question of how to solve the self-inflicted aguna or the man-inflicted aguna remains an ongoing question. All right. RCA has a prenuptial. That's what we're talking about. And these are Rabbanim who are opposed to the RCA prenuptial. The prenuptial was transferred to here, was translated into Israeli context. It has the approval of Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, but here it seems Rab Nevensol signs on against it. It's hard to understand exactly what the complaints are. I hope not, but like everything else in life, unfortunately, politics plays a role. But all right, let's come back here. Yitzchak, I have stuff for you, and I want to ask you two small questions after class. We're ready to roll. We've reached another topic which I'm going to handle on a minor level today and a major level following this with a very important, in my humble opinion, hashkafic statement. And this is a topic that concerns all of us, the way we think and the way we act. And I'm quoting from Chelek Tetvav, Mishnah Halacha, Siman Nun Vav. Now, this tshuva, we can identify the year. It's 1993. He gives a date. The date here is important, and it deals with checking a Sefer Torah with a computer. And here you get involved in the entire question of scientific advancement and what impact does it have on our religious experience, our religious lifestyle. And this tribute to someone, I don't know who the person is, it's to a bachur learning in Rav Menashe Klein's yeshiva. His name is Shimon Berger. And maybe someone will know the name Shimon Berger so many years later. Be interesting to know where he's at today. And Shimon Berger hears that the Rebbe is opposed to checking the Sefer Torah with a computer. And he wants to know why. And he tells the following story. Acharei drishat Shlomo hatov. And he turns to him, Rav Menashe Klein. Yes, you heard that I am upset with checking Sifrei Torah al yedei machshev. And he writes, computer belies. And by the way, machshev is the word we use in Hebrew, right or wrong. Machshev, machshuv, right? And the achshav, and what happened in the Beit Knesset where this young man davened, matzu sham beBeit Knesset b'sefer Torah pasuk, v'tomer el abadecha, horidu alai. And instead of saying abadecha, it says avdecha. The Lashon, instead of saying Avdecha, it says Avdecha. It becomes Lashon single. Instead of plural, instead of Rabbim, it becomes single. And they found a mistake in the Sefer Torah. And evidently the person asking the question is saying to Rav Menashe Klein, if we would have checked the Sefer Torah with a computer, we would have found this mistake. This is a mistake.
How was it done?
How was what?
How was it done?
The computer?
Yeah.
We'll come to it. The exact question, how the computer checks it. I'll come to it in give me a half hour yet. But he's asking a simple question, that why are you opposed to using a computer? If after all, had we checked the computer would have found the letter is missing. It should have been plural, and instead it's avdecha. And he says to this young man, Dalachavu, listen, my dear friend, or my beloved student. Ki me'olam lo amati shelo nimsal tiyot b'sefer Torah. He says, I never said there were no mistakes in the Sefer Torah. Of course mistakes are made. Ki hadam malei shkiyot. People make mistakes. Ukamosha amad davar hamelech alav ha'shalom. Shkiyot miyavin. Mistarot makeni. Who knows how many mistakes we make. Keep me away from secret errors. But let's look at the way the Torah is written. Miyon kabalata misinai bipi Moshe Rabbeinu v'elech lo samchu al shum davar rak al ben adam hakotev v'hamagia. And Rabbi Menashe Klein says, I never said there aren't mistakes. Of course there are mistakes. Humans are humans. Who can say he never made a mistake? There's no one in the world that can say he never made a mistake. The greatest gadol, occasionally you forget something, you make a mistake. The Rav, you all know, could give one shiur on Tuesday, and a kid asked him a question, and the Rav would get very upset. He'd jump on the kid, and then he'd think it over. And before you know it, the Rav would try to find the kid afterwards. The legendary stories that he would go across the street into the Greasy Spoon, and they tell him, Rebbe, the student you're looking for is eating in the Greasy Spoon. Now the Rebbe would go across the street, apologize to him, and the next morning the Rebbe would begin, Shia, forget, and forget whatever I told you yesterday, and he'd recreate the whole sheet, the whole shear again.
Greasy Spoon a kosher place?
Of course it was kosher. Across the street from the yeshiva.
Why call it a Greasy Spoon?
That was the name. It was called the Greasy Spoon. That's what you saw in the window. If you don't like the name, complain to the owners. But I'm only telling you a fact. That was the name. Yitzchak, do you remember it?
I don't know.
The Greasy Spoon was right across. The Rav used to also eat there occasionally when he wanted a cup of tea. So Aaron Bat would run, Yitzchak Levracha, would run across the street to the Greasy Spoon and bring a cup of tea. But you see, Look what you're starting to face here. Look what you're starting to scratch. Lo nitna Torah lemalachei hasharet. Torah is given to mortals. It is not given to angels. And this question comes up in 100 different various she'ilot that you can touch upon in halacha. And I can give you very simple examples. Moshe, you put on tefillin this morning? Tell me, what's the halacha about the box of the shel rosh? Right? That has to be rectangular, exactly. Has to be square. In other words, it's not supposed to be rounded off at the sides. Tell me, did you ever look at tefillin and put a measure to it, something they build with? Nothing in the world is going to show up perfectly rectangular, perfectly square. You're always going to get a little twist on the side. The more you use it over the years, now who discusses it? The Aruch HaShulchan. And the Aruch HaShulchan says very simply, Lo nitna tala lemalachei shor. It means to the naked eye. You're not supposed to go and take a ruler or whatever they call the tool. There's a tool that you see, it's absolutely straight. It must have a technical name. I've seen them work with it when they put fences together. The Torah does not require us to be angels. I can go one step further. And I once got upset about this in class. I mean, upset from the Hashkafic Halachic contest point of view. And my classmate, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, wrote his probably most famous piece, Rupture and Reconstruction, on this. No, tell me, at the Seder, Binyamin, you're with your parents, you're with your family, you're in London, the Seder, now you come to the matzah. Do you take out a ruler and measure the size of the matzah? They give out these sheets. Have you ever seen them? Where you put the matzah down, the murrah down. No. Oh my gosh, a real Talmud Chacham gets upset with that. You want to know how much matzah? Ask your father how much he ate.
No. Nathan Slifkin
put
out a Keziah's chart where he the whole chart is just a picture of an olive.
One olive is equal to a keziah?
Cynical toward the modern.
Oh!
Like,
he put out a keziah.
No.
It's a very interesting point. Do we have to do that? Does the Torah require you take a ruler, measure? I don't know. I've never measured in my life, but I believe I was always yotzei matzah and marah. It's certainly a lach. Certainly, the basic shittat. I don't want to say I ate three kezeitim all at once, one here and one there, and it's very hard, but certainly one good kezayat lachatchilar, absolutely. But you see, this question goes on and on. Now, I'll give you another example. I'll give you another example. All right, I'll use Yitzhak's example first. It's the famous story, Rav Avigdor Miller. No, Vic, tell the class what Rav Avigdor Miller was. It was Mashkiach of Yeshivat Rabbeinu Chaim in Berlin, rabbi of the young Israel of what's it called?
Rugby.
What's that? Like East Flatbush, I believe?
Right,
somewhere near East Flatbush. He was the son-in-law of Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Cohen Lesser. He was not a great fan of YU. He had studied in YU in the 20s into the 30s, then he went to Europe. Everyone studied in what became YU, every gadol you can mention who grew up in America. But later they went to Europe, and maybe Rabbi Scheinberg of Or Torah was the most pro-YU of that whole crowd afterwards. But that's the reality of life. So here the Mashkiach meets this Chaim Berlin boy, and he's buying an etrog, and he's looking at the etrog, and he has Yitz Rubin lent him a magnifying glass, and he's looking at this one, he's looking at that one, and the Mashkiach couldn't contain himself, and he says to him, I'm living it in Yiddish, I'll try to say it in English, it would be a lot better for you if you looked at your soul the way you're looking at that etrog. You follow? We've been cooked under neshama. That the guy you're looking, it's very hard. I have to tell you, if an etrog is basically clean, it's very hard to parcel it. It's, when you look at the top, if it's clean, you're on the way to a kosher etrog. All right, there's hidurim, the shape of the etrog, the blitat of the etrog. That's true. You follow me, Binyamin? But mechatchila, he told them off. So again, lo nitna Torah lemalachei hasharet. But I want to ask you a different question. In 1978, it had to be, or 1980, I'm sitting in a home of Talmidim of mine in Kew Gardens Hills. Subsequently, I played a big role in inspiring them to come in Aliyah, and they've lived here ever since, and you will know them because very successful in his undertaking here, iWorld. You've heard of iWorld, there are three different branches. The chief optician who organized iWorld is my student, Dr. Ari Teitelbaum, and his wife, Zahava, Glenda. Schindler was her maiden name. They're both my students. So in their house, Ari is telling me that the Rebbe, I eat vegetables, you eat vegetables, but look, maybe we got to stop eating vegetables. And he shows me a video that was made in Lakewood. Again, when you say Lakewood, I would imagine it was part of the Lakewood Yeshiva. And I'll never forget that video. They're looking at vegetables with a magnifying glass. And a guy says, I can still remember his language, I'm telling truthful testimony that I see something crawling around on this lettuce with the magnifying glass. Tell me, Herb, have you ever taken a course where you look at water with a good microscope, an electronic microscope? You know what you see in water? Ribbono shel Olam, all types of paramecia and floating around. Oh my gosh. Sammy, do we drink water? Do we eat vegetables? What do you mean by bedika? How far does a bedika have to go? And I can tell you on the spot, I reacted to that video.
Did you know that you have all kinds of bacteria inside you?
A lot of bacteria in the air. You got to get used to it. They say a little kid, it's good to take them out. And when I was raising my daughters, my wife wouldn't take tools. She's 5 weeks old, 6 weeks old. Today they say take a kid out right away. He should develop immunity to what's in the air. But this is a serious question. How do you check? My middle daughter inherited my wife's ability. Actually, two of my three daughters inherit my wife's ability. Art. My wife is an artist. Two daughters have tremendous art ability. And I have many grandsons who have art ability, and one grandson works in it full-time. Two of my grandsons are graduates of B'Tzalel, and they both work in it full-time, I should say. Not one, two. And one is more in art, the other one is more in design of furniture. It's a shoot-off of art. Design of websites today. Okay, it's fine. You work in art. So my daughter does ketuvot. And she needed a light table. Many, many years ago, I brought her a light table. It was very important. Again, it's hard for me to describe a light table, but like if you're tracing something, the lettering of a ketuvah, you can put it down and the light shines through and you can trace it onto the new ketuvah you're working on. All you have to do is change the names, but the nusach of ketuvah remains the same. So about the late 80s, 90s, Harnof people used to come into the house and ask permission to put their lettuce on the night table to check it if there's anything infinitesimal on the lettuce crawling around. No, what are you saying, Moshe? Legitimate question? It's turned into a multi-million dollar industry. What am I talking about? Bodek vegetables. Today, the average person is too wealthy to waste time checking vegetables. By the way, you should know in Hashgacha, I have students who worked in Hashgacha. They told me the hardest part of Hashgacha is checking the vegetables. Because you're under pressure. The Balabatim don't really understand why that's needed. Jews have eaten lettuce since time immemorial. And you have more orders, less orders. You know, restaurant business is not so simple because it varies, and you really have no idea in advance unless you're a five-star restaurant that people book a year in advance. You have restaurants like that. But the average kosher restaurant, on a Monday night, he can have 100 people eating there, and on a Thursday night, date night, he can have 500 people eating there. So the hardest part is checking vegetables. Everything else, the meat comes in kosher today. Everything is done for you. You get a finished product. As long as the guy is buying kosher meat, there's not much to worry about. You're not serving milchiks in the restaurant. There's not much to worry about. But checking the vegetables, that's the challenge. No, what's pshat in checking? The eye, how do you look at it? How do you deal with it? Hold it up to the light. Put it on a light table. This is an unbelievable question, which we're just scratching the surface here. That, here, take a computer, check the Sifrei Torah, and Rav Menashe Klein, totally, absolutely opposed. And he says, we've checked from time immemorial since the Torah was given. And if it's not enough, one person checking, so many sofrim have a minik tov, they give it to two more magiyim. In other words, three different eyes look at the text. Sometimes the sofa can't give it to someone else, whatever the reasons are. He may be working in an isolated community. But you know what the sofa does? He checks it three different times, three different days. In other words, not to get used to reading the same text. And he says, this is what we do. And leave it to Rav Menashe Klein, has a good sarcastic sense. Avolomi pihem, volomi piha computer. In other words, what does it say? This is what we learn now, that the Eidus has to be mi pihem. You can't take Eid mi pi Eid. You can't take Eid mi picha metagamim. Mi pihem. and not from the computer. And he calls the people who insist you got to use a computer. The local tunnel rim the eight sunny achat 11 machsheva to yelamdenu. And he gets very upset with these people who worship the computer. He accuses them of idol worship. And until today, to go and claim that because you didn't use a computer, Jews are using Sifrei Torah that are invalid. And now they claim Akshadara, the generation, has become great. That they have invented something that's lifeless called the Machshev, and bo smoch alav, and depend upon the Machshev. And he is very, very upset. This is not Judaism, this is not a way of life. You have some chutzpah to say that the Sefer Torah, or all the Sefer Torah written until now, can be puzzle. And he says, yes. And here he speaks already like a modern individual. There were mistakes in the Sefer Torah. There were contradictions. But what do we do when we have a contradiction? No, we'll come to a Rambam. I don't know if we'll reach it this week. I'll show it to you next week. You took the various Sifrei Torah and you went up Pirov. If two Nischad said one thing and one Nischak said another, you wrote the Sefer Torah in accordance with the two. And he says, Bimei Ezra, we know, the Rambam makes reference to this, Bimei Ezra, Matsu Gimel Sefer Torah Shayu Shni Yimechem, that had differences. One said Ma'on, and one said Ma'ona Elokei Kedem. And they looked at three, and followed what two had to say. And this is a Sefer Torah. Here I want to tell you something very, very important. You're dealing here with basic Torah, basic understanding of Yiddishkeit. Alright, so you have a machlokes, ma'on, ma'onah. Tell me, maybe you take two out of three, but maybe 10 years later, 50 years later, 100 years later, you're going to discover another five Sefrei Torah. And the percentage will change. Is the Sefer Torah possible? What do you do? And here we're only human beings. Ein l'dayan ela mashenav ra'at. We're only humans. The Sefer Torah we have to read is the one our fathers gave us. The one the generation before gave us. In the sense of ultimate truth, maybe we're wrong. Maybe the original text was different. Could be ultimate truth. But that doesn't affect the Sefer Torah we have today. We are humans. We can't do anything that's beyond human ability. And when Dov wants a Sefer Torah, he takes the one from his father. When he wants to do research, what might have been variant readings 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago. So you go to Hebrew University Graduate School and you do research in the area. But Chas v'Chalila, it does not affect the Sefer Torah that you're taking out Shabbos, Monday, Thursday. You know where you see this basic concept? No, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Perek Bet, right at the end, the last two Mishnayot.
Yeah, but
Moshe, you were. Well, I'll show you. I'll support my case even stronger. But that's a fabulous example. Moshe is a great mathematician, and he reaches a conclusion that Yom Kippur is on a certain day in accordance with his understanding. And the rabbi, and the head of the Sanhedrin, who is not a mathematician equal to him, the Nasi reaches the conclusion Rosh Hashanah is a day earlier, a day later. Who do we follow? Yeah, and there's a limud hakasav on that area. You made a mistake, but we're only humans. To say it stronger, you have the Gemara in Bav Metzia. Daf Nun Dalet Tanur Di Achna'i. There already it's not a special case and not a special pasuk. There, what's the daf?
Nun
Tet, you say? Oh, you could be right. You could be, I'm too much in advance, a few daf in advance. Thank you. Daf Nun Tet Tanur Di Achna'i. Where is this oven? Tahar or Tamei? And what a machloket and Bashamayim, they paskin like Rebbe Lezer, that it's, what was it, Tamei? Tamei?
Rebbe Lezer said that it was
Tahar. Like, who do we paskin like Bashamayim?
Rabbi Yeshua said it was
Tamei. And Bashamayim, they said it was Tahar, exactly. And the majority voted against and said it was Tamei. And they said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Lo ma shamayim hi, v'lo me evela yam hi. That's a very basic Gemara. Torah has to function in human context. You can't give a Torah and hold it by strings as if God is giving it and pulling it back, giving it and pulling it back. You give the Torah, you give the Torah to human beings. Human beings are not angels. They're limited. They have to do what they're told. They're told, they have to paskin. They have to paskin, you follow the Rov. I, the ultimate truth, may have been against the Rov. God understood it differently. That doesn't affect the halacha lamaisa. Lo ba shamayim hi, v'lo me'eva layam hi. And it became a rabbinic forism. Eliyahu HaNavi met the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you remember what he said to him? How did you feel when that happened? And God answers him, Nitzchuni Banai Nitzchuni. Very powerful.
You know, the conservative movement quotes that Gemara more than the other Gemara.
There's a Gemara talk a couple
of
prakim later with
Rabbi Nachmani. In what sugya?
There was a Gemara where they were trying to figure out what happens in a case of Suffolk, the Se'ar Lavan comes before the Seret. And Yatza Nishmaso B'Tahor, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu against the Malachim. Then the Rama Paskins Tameda.
But this Gemara, Loba Shemaim Hilome Vayamli, is unbelievably basic to our understanding. And this is an echo right here of why Reb Menashe Klein is so strong, so vehement. And he says, I agree with you. There are always going to be mistakes. Humans are going to be mistakes. But nevertheless, we fix it. We do what we can. We put it to a vote. And it is kasher.
Rabbi, and then, I have to ask you a question. Why are you spending so much time on Menashe Klein?
I've been dealing with Menashe Klein since your grandson was born. We're using Rabbi Menashe Klein as a jumping off the swimming board into the Yam HaTalmud. Look at it that
There's
way.
A lot of greater man than him.
Humble, be humble, relax yourself.
I'm not anything, but
the sources are sources. It doesn't have to do anything with Menashe Klein. He's uncovering here an unbelievable question. How does modern invention affect our Torah lifestyle? And he says, these Sifrei Torah are kasherim. Now, when it comes to Sefer Torah, and I'll give you the source either later today or next week, there is a concept that no Sefer Torah is perfect, and the halacha acknowledges this, lachatfila, meaning yiseirot v'chaseirot. Words that have a vav, don't have a vav, have a yud, don't have a yud. If you make a mistake in these words and it doesn't change the meaning, but it's chaser or yater, it is kosher lachatchila. We don't expect uniformity from every Sefer Torah. tens and tens and tens of thousands of words, letters, I should say. And here, we're not medaktek because we can't possibly do it all right. And therefore, we see that the whole concept of a Sefer Torah is given to the human being to do the best he can. And he says, with all that you're boasting about the computer, didn't we find many mistakes already in Sifrei Torah checked by a computer? And I can tell you, halacha l'maisa, for instance, in the state of Israel, I don't believe there's a sofer today who puts out a Sefer Torah that isn't checked at least once by the computer. And nevertheless, be it as it may, you're going to find mistakes. The computer can catch it. The person checking the computer didn't catch
it.
I'm going to describe it to you in a few, give it another few minutes. Let me just finish my introduction. Now, there's a very interesting, follow this thought up. Let's go into modern Torah history, the 20th century. How are we allowed to innovate? What can we innovate? What can we follow? How do we treat all these improvements in life? You've all heard of the wedding of Reb Moshe Soloveitchik to Rebbetzin Pesha Feinstein. Who was Reb Moshe's father? Reb Chaim Brisker. Who is considered perhaps one of the greatest gedolim, if not the greatest one in the Litvisha world at that moment of time, the turn of the 20th century? Reb Lazer Gordon, founder, Rosh Yeshiva of Telz. Have you read Reb Moshe Soloveitchik's daughter's memoir, The Soloveitchik Heritage by Shulamit Meiselman? She describes the wedding. And she says her father, Reb Chaim, he would not be Masada Kedushin. He was humble. It's my own daughter. It's arrogant. But he would not invite Reb Lazer Gordon to the wedding. And Reb Lazer heard Reb Chaim's marrying off a daughter. Reb Lazer said, how can there be a wedding? Certainly I'm invited. I don't need an invitation. Reb Chaim marrying a daughter, Reb Lazer came. Reb Chaim saw him, and he had no choice. He was the greatest gadol there. He was mechaber him l'sadeh kedushin.
Shulamit,
she's writing about her father's wedding.
Her father's wedding, yes.
Okay. Writing about her grandfather and her father at the wedding.
It's
the Rav's father. It's the Rav's sister. And she's writing this memoir. Tell me, why didn't Reb Chaim invite Reb Lazer Gordon? What was his complaint against Reb Lazer Gordon?
He could find a mistake.
Reb Lazer Gordon, he was an innovator. He organized Telz Yeshiva, the first yeshiva in modern times that had grades, gradations, five different classes. Dov, you started in the first class in Telz in 1902. You couldn't go to the Rosh Yeshiva Shir. That was only for fourth and fifth year students. The Shir Klali, not like any other yeshiva. Every kid, Yitzchak went into Meir, he was 15 years old, he's at the Shir Klali already. Whether he understood it or not is immaterial. But everyone went to the Shir Klali. Telz? You had exams. You had to go from year to year to year. Oh my gosh. Vic, innovation. Much worse than just gradations in the yeshiva. Moshe, do you know what Reb Chaim, what Reb Lazer Gordon instituted? 19th, 20th century. The world is changing, running away from Torah on all sides. He introduced a daily religious newspaper to fight all the Apikursis in Yediot and Marav. Let there be a from daily newspaper. I think it was called Haint. Today. Oh my, Yitzchak, what do you say? Chadash Asur Mincha Torah. That's why Reb Chaim was upset with the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva. He's an innovator. Very interesting question. Where do you draw the line? Where can you innovate? Where can't you innovate? How does this affect Halacha, Hashkafa? Right down the line. Herbie, let me tell you something else. You heard of the seventh Lubavitcher Rebbe? Gadol Mirabban Shemo? By the late 60s, the feminists were yelling and shouting and complaining. The Jews are anti-Torah. I heard talks given at Stern College. I couldn't believe my ears. People leading them on to be angry, to be upset. We're persecuting them, etc. So two giants responded. The Rav responded, the 70s. Binyamin, he gave the first Gemara Shia at Stern College. The Lubavitcher Rebbe responded, Fabrengens for women only. Hundreds upon hundreds of women were in 770. You can see pictures. Two men were in the room. The Rebbe and his personal secretary, Rav Chodkov, who sat next to him at all times. And the Rebbe spoke to the women and none of the women. And one of the things he introduced, not just the Fabrengens, Kol Isha V'Bat Madlika Neirat Shabbat. Every woman. Moshe, do you have sisters? They light Shabbos candles before they're married? Turn 12, what do they do? Light Shabbos, Chabatnikim, one candle. Every woman lights one candle before she's married. Very brilliant. He gave the women damn mitzvah for every last girl from the age of face of 3 up. Start lighting Shabbos candles. It's your mitzvah. Didn't put tefillin on them. Shabbos candles. Tremendous critique against the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Oh, what went on, that Yanapi Kairis, and he's a Chadash Asur, and he's innovating. And there was a Fabrengen in the early 70s where the Rebbe said, and I quote him word by word, must be 72, I had a recording of it here in Israel, and boy did I learn from it. And the Rebbe says, everyone criticizes me. I introduce women lighting candles? He says, what's the big introduction? The Aruch HaShulchan. He says two women who are not married have to light candles. But he says, maybe I did introduce, but I introduced for the sake of Yiddishkeit. Tell me, no one introduces today? Where did they get their news 50 years ago, 60 years ago? Where did the religious Jews get their news? He says, I'll tell you where they got their news. Sevishin Minchel Marvik, Minchel Marv. They would sit outside the shul on the dorf on the lawn. And someone would tell them what he just heard news when he was in Warsaw, new news. Someone told him he was just in Breslau. He had the latest news. Someone told them they was just in Budapest 3 months ago and they heard this new news. That's how they got news then. Tell me, today, every last Torah Jew has a newspaper that he subscribes to, that his political party puts out. He says, why are they complaining against me? If they're complaining against my innovation with the girl lighting candles, let them complain against the newspapers that abound today in the Torah world. And you see, you're dealing here with a very delicate question. Where do you draw the line? Where can you innovate? How does this affect Hashkafa? How does this affect halacha? And go one step further. Watch. He says to the student that the student says, you know, Rabbi, it's all here in the Tshuva, that people say today that our generation is so weak, we're so poor, we can't concentrate. Hard for us to check a Sefer Torah. The computer was invented for our generation, so that in our poor status today, we can check the Sefer Torah with a computer that takes the place of our eyes and our limited abilities and energy. And Rav Menashe Klein laughs at him. If that's why the computer was invented, the computer should have been invented at the time of Chazal, when they tried to check all the letters in the Torah and all the words in the Torah. It's according to the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Amid Aleph, where they try to count everything. They could have used the computer. And if it wasn't invented for Chazal, who was so great, you mean to say it was invented for us? Now this too, what I've just touched upon, a very, very interesting question. Yomo, you've heard of the Chafetz Chaim? Tell me what the Chafetz Chaim said that contradicts Rav Menashe Klein 100%. Do you remember when you learned in Radin? What did they just invent in the Chafetz Chaim's time? The railroad, the trains. And the Chafetz Chaim said over to his Talmidim, this has been repeated 1,000 times over, he says, our generations are zei abgeschwacht, we're weak, we're not matmidim, we don't have that type of ability. Could you imagine if we had to travel by horse and buggy from community to community, we would go 4 or 5 days without learning, without opening a sefer? Nowadays, the Ribbono Shel Olam invented the train for us so that what took 4 or 5 days takes 4 or 5 hours, or min daf nish mevatel zayin azefil from Torah, and we don't have to be mevatel from Torah. And tell me, this was the Chafetz Chaim. And who followed up on that? No, who learns Daf Yomi here? Where did Daf Yomi come from? Daf Yomi, Rav Meir Shapiro, who publicized the Daf Yomi, Zchuto Omedet, Ad Hayom Hazeh, the Lublina Rav, the Pyotr Kov Rav, then afterwards the Lublina Rav. He died so young, no children. Rav Meir Shapiro? People are traveling. Why should they lose the Daf Gemara? They're going from Warsaw and Warsaw, they're learning Kedushin. They come to Breslau, they're learning Gittin. They come to Brooklyn, they're learning Ketuvot. Everyone should learn the same Gemara. So you leave Warsaw one day on one daf, the next day you're in Breslau, thanks to the train, you're on the next daf. Continuity. You see, with the Chafetz Chaim's point of view, our generation, because we zayin abgeschwacht, we're weakened, we're not what we used to be, so it lessened off, and God had mercy on us and made these inventions. Not so simple to say the computer should have been here at the mine of Chazal, at the time of Chazal. Maybe our generation needs it. And I have one more story to entertain.
I mean, this is a joke.
Hold on one second. Let me just go one more step. Yitzchak and Dov, people you know. So I was at a wedding. It has to be, I would estimate, 61, 62. And the whole YU crowd was there. And Rabbi Yeruchim Gerelich was there. And Rabbi Yeruchim and the heart of the Rosh Yeshiva and yours truly and many others. We all lived in the Bronx. Today, the Bronx is devoid of any Jews. We have to go to Riverdale. We Bronxites never considered Riverdale part of the Bronx. That was like the fancy area up north. But all right, technically it's part of the Bronx, but the heart of the Bronx where we grew up, the East Bronx, the West Bronx, gone, totally gone. But at one time, filled with Yisro. Rabbi Yerucham says to me, Efshahat Hatmin Amashinka, he asked me if I have a car to take him home from the wedding. So I told him, you know, the kid answers, I halavai would have a car, but, you know, it's beyond my financial means. And Rabbi Yerucham says to me, what? Halavai would have a car, la patarikin have a car, was tunzei mit the car, me gulalit, me trink, me gate, me freyen. He says, every Puerto Rican has a car. What do I do with a car? I don't know how to say hulavit, me kambandavit, they carry on. They run around with drugs, with drinking, with women. So I said, Rebbe, you're making a mistake. And little Ani Rothkov had the chutzpah to say to Rabbi Yerucham Gerelick, I told him over the story from the Chafetz Chaim. I said, that's your Rebbe, you learned in Latin. And oh, he said, yes, that's true. And I said, if I had a car, I would use it to take the Rebbe home from a wedding, to take the Rebbe to Sheva Brachas. I would use it for mitzvot. But once again, the same question comes up. Can we reach a conclusion? Where do you draw the line? Where do you dance that there is a computer? And where do you laugh and say to the computer, we don't need it. We're Jews like all the Jews that came before us. Don't drive us crazy with newfangled inventions. Rav Lazer Gordon, an apikoiris, an oisvav. He builds a modern yeshiva. He has gradations of classes. He runs a high school afterwards. He has a seminary for women like Stern College. Oy, Reb Chaim, a daily newspaper. Reb Chaim wanted nothing to do with him. Where do you draw the line?
Well, and yet, okay.
Yitzchak Derech Eretz, Derech Eretz. Reb Chaim wrote letters not just against the Mizrahi, against Agudat, the formation of Agudat Yisrael, the whole concept of Das Torah, the whole concept of Meretzek the Dolei HaTorah. Reb Chaim was totally opposed. Reb Chaim was Reb Chaim. The Rav, you can be your own person. You can ask a different question. How did the Rav's grandchildren, one is the Rosh Yeshiva of Alon Shvut, one is the Rosh Yeshiva of Teira Vadas, one is the Rashet or Rashat, or whatever you say, feminine form of Rosh Yeshiva of Migdalos. This is life. But one thing I'll tell you, the Rav and his grandchildren, they're basically Reb Chaim. The difference is, all right, the veneer, the outlook, the polish, the dress, the thinking, but the Torah concept, the Torah commitment, 100%. The Rav's daughters daven three times a day. What do you want? How many other people raise children, women raised in America in the 30s into the 40s, who daven three times a day? Okay? I can tell you, when Tova was on Shmirat Terayom for Tanya, her little daughter, her sixth child, I can tell you her biggest problem was she wasn't allowed out of the bed. She had to say Shmon Esrei sitting up in bed. That's the way she had to say Shmon Esrei, like we say in an airplane, all the something today about flying on an airplane. So Kol HaKavod, the klipa may have been different, but the kernel, the fruit, remained strong and firm and beautiful. All right. Now let me go one step further and deal with Herbie's question. Go on website, type into the computer, computer checking Torah, and you'll find one website after another. What officially is done is there are many computer programs. But now, more or less, the main computer programs are very similar. And what these computer programs do, they scan the Sefer Torah. And the scan of the Sefer Torah is compared with the computer program which has a perfect Sefer Torah with no mistakes on it. At least as far as the human eye, there are no mistakes. And this computer program, again, someone who's an expert will tell you how it's done. I can only verbalize it. It has variant readings, so it can pick up different kitvei yad of what you're scanning into it. It doesn't have to be exactly the same style or the same lettering or the same formation. The computer program is smart enough to pick up variants. In addition, it will go out of its way to pick up letters that, according to the computer, are not complete. Let's say a yud that's too small, a vav that's not long enough. Later, any misspelling, obviously, any letter left out, any word left out. We just had now a Sefer Torah in the Shul where I daven, the Sefer Torah we've been reading from years, a little Sefer Torah, very easy to handle, and we're mostly an old dominion. In other words, people who are going to come davening at 5:30 in the morning are older people. Younger people can sleep longer. Older people wake up, I can't sleep beyond the halabayish, can sleep to 4:30, I'm doing good. But so we can't lift up a heavy Sefer Torah. And this Torah, believe it or not, they found one word missing. And now the whole Torah has to be redone, that whole klaf. In other words, you have to take out a whole section because there's no way to fit in that word that's missing. It has to be rewritten and rewritten in a way that you'll balance out, go a little bit tighter so you'll fit in the word and yet finish up the klaf exactly where it has to go, that particular section. When you have the computer program, it allows for all the variations. It doesn't mean that every mistake the computer thinks it finds is a mistake. Then a human being has to look at it. It could be that this yud is perfect, this vav is perfect, halachically it's fine, it's a centimeter less, a centimeter off, but that's fine, afilu lachatchila. So you have the computer printout can be very, very accurate, very deliberate, very, very careful. What do we do? Halacha l'maisa. So I spoke with a sofa, Akiva Gaba. Maybe some of you know him. You might have met him in the Shtiblach. I know Akiva Gaba many, many decades. My father, as a matter of fact, when this girl was at the bus stop, his wife is a big mogul medit, she teaches. And my father's a Chonel of Bracha. My father had a very good heart, a real good Jewish heart. And he met them, and they first were going out, and she confided in my father that she likes him, she hopes it'll work out. And my father gave her a bracha and Baruch Hashem. I believe my parents were at the chuppah. It was shortly thereafter. So Akiva is a sofa. And I asked him, halacha l'maisa, what do you do? He said, all the sofrim today use a computer. Some use it in two checks, and then they do the third check themselves, because you need a chazaka, three checks. He is makpid to use it only once. After he uses the computer once, he checks it a second time and checks it a third time. Everything I'm telling you is correct. You don't check it back to back. You check it hours later or the next day is even better so that you can see it again. With the computer program, you don't have to make every correction because the computer is more medakdek and more exact than any human being. Now, there's one other advantage to a computer program that nothing else matches. And that advantage is a simple reflection of modern life. Every time you go into a shul and look for a Sefer Torah, the Sifrei Torah are locked up. Time and again in the shul where I daven, they have to bring a key because they're two different areas. There's the big shul and the shtibble on the side. Why are the Sefer Torah locked up? No, people, lo aleinu, rob Sifrei Torah. People with beards and payas and who look frum and black and good and fine have been caught in Israel, I don't know in America, but have been caught in Israel robbing Sifrei Torah. No, when you have a Sefer Torah that's robbed, who does it belong to? Now comes the question of identity. Could you imagine three shuls pop up and say, we're all missing a Sefer Torah? Tell me, who does it belong to? This is the greatness of a computer printout of your Sefer Torah, which they have to scan and make for the computer checking. You now have and file an absolute photograph of your Sefer Torah. And you can prove in 1 second flat whose Torah it is, so that the computer scanning, the computer printout works two great ways to help the shul. One way is simply to check the Sefer Torah. The other way is to prove that it's your Sefer Torah. All right, Yitzchak, it's a very interesting question. And now I want to go into the question a lot deeper. And I want to give you some sources. And let's begin at the beginning. Hilchat Kriyat Sefer Torah, Siman Kuf Mem Gimel. Sif Katan Dalet, 143, subdivision 4. You can look in the Mishnah Brura, it's subdivision, sub-subdivision in the Mishnah Brura, Yud Gimel. And here I want to ask a very simple question. How many of you have been in a shul in the last 70, 80 years where in the middle of reading the Torah a mistake is found? It's inevitable. I don't know, I've been caught in that position. I still remember in Maplewood we called the kid out to identify a letter. But I still remember, must have happened to me from childhood on. Vic, it ever happened? They're reading a Sefer Torah and a letter is missing, a word is missing, a word is disconnected. That's the most usual problem with a Sefer Torah. I can tell you with the tefillin, the mezuzah, it's rolled up so tight that inevitably you crack words with the mezuzah. It's like a built-in system that would ultimately create problems with the mezuzah. Because we roll it up, it's a din kavod ha-mezuzah to roll it up, and it inevitably creates problems. A tefillin, the shel rosh, where you have them split up into four different sections and tied very tight, problems can be created. Okay, you found a mistake in the Sefer Torah. What do you do? What do you do? No, Moshe, what do you say? No, simple answer. Three tremendous different opinions, each one super, each one supported, each one solid, firm. First of all, you have to remember, the reading of the Torah is only a din derabbanan. Where do you have the source for reading Torah? The Gemara in Baba Kama, what's it, Daf Pei Bet, correct me if I'm wrong, and Shelo Yechul Gimul Yamim Beli Kriyat HaTorah, the Jews went 3 days without reading Torah, Nilu, Nilu. How do you translate that word into English? They felt exhausted, emotionally exhausted, spiritually exhausted. Chazal introduced they shouldn't go 3 days without reading the Torah. So the whole din is a din de rabbanim of reading the Torah. The only time reading Torah is a chi of the oraita is hakel. Hakel is a chi of the oraita every 7 years. Outside of that, there's no chi of the oraita. Am I right or wrong? Hakel is a chi of the oraita, but everything else is minhag. All right. So, but you have to read the Torah from a kosher Sefer Torah. So you find absurd, Torah is not kosher, what do you do? One opinion, you start all over again. Mamish, go back to the beginning of the Pasha, you start all over again. A second opinion, wherever you end off, wherever the psul was found, you end off that pasuk. take out a new Sefer Torah. A third opinion gets you involved with all the questions of Birchat HaTorah. Can you make a bracha over the end of where you left off? Do you read at least 3 more psukim and then make the bracha? Do you read on and reread from the start of that aliyah? Everything here is questionable. Halacha l'maisa, the most common event is you find a psul, you start reading exactly where you left off. Stories are told about Rab Chaim, about Rab Maisha, could be about the Rav too, that they didn't like that, they felt it was a chiyuv to read from a Sefer Torah, and if you didn't have a Sefer Torah, you take out a new one that's kasher, and you start reading all over. Some machmirim will do that, but halacha l'maisa, most shuls end off right there. New Torah, take it further. Tell me, what do you do if you have a kehila which has no Torah that's kasher? You have a Torah, but it's pasul, a word is missing, you know it's pasul, but you have no other Torah. Even there are some opinions that you can read the Torah. What these opinions are based upon is that reading the Torah is a din in Talmud Torah. And lachatchila, you're supposed to have a good sefer, kasher sefer. But b'diavad, if you have no choice, you can be yotzei the Talmud Torah even if you don't have a good sefer. So you see, there's a whole machloket here. You can see it all. The Mishnah Brura says, as is his vogue, this story, this question is so complicated that I want to give an introduction. And he gives a very, very long introduction summarizing the various viewpoints if you find a mistake. All right, you can see it on your own. It's right there in the Shulchan Aruch. But I want to quote to you from the Ramah. And here's the famous Ramah that makes its peace with the fact we are all mortals, we are all humans, we are not angels. V'hadamotziyin, it's right there in that siman that I just quoted. V'hadamotziyin acheretin, this rule that you take out another Sefer Torah, dafka, shenimtza ta'ut gamur, avon mishum chaseidot v'yeteidot, Ein lahotzi acheret, she'ein sifrei Torah shelanu meduyakim kol kach, she'ne'ema she'acheret yiyeh kasher. And that Ramah is basic and classic. You found a mistake in a Sefer Torah, a letter is missing. You found a mistake in a Sefer Torah, there's an added yud. You don't take out another Sefer Torah because the chances are the Torah you will take out will be no better. It, halachically, it will have the same status. Letters will be missing, letters will be added, as long as there's no word meaning or no word's meaning is changed by an addition or a lack of a letter, then the Torah is kasher lachatchila, and we don't change it, and that's the psak of the Ramah. Okay. Now I want to come to the heart of Rav Menashe Klein, and he raises the issue. You'll see how adamant he is, and it's a lot of food for thought. We're now going back in time. We're going back to Mishnah Halachot Chelik Yud Aleph. We're going back to Tshuva, Kuf Yun Dalet, 114. Now this Tshuva was written in 1989 or earlier. How do I know when it's written? Because the Tshuva that comes next to it, that's appendix to it, that we'll get to next week, and is a very fascinating Tshuva to whom it is written, the Satmar Rav at that time, is dated 1989. So this tshuva has to be 1989 or earlier. It's exactly when the computer is starting to... I still remember when they spoke in terms of a big revolution, a big innovation, a computer that can check a Sefer Torah. And this letter, too, is to a student in his yeshiva, Harav Menachem Mendel Moscovich, who learns in the Kolel of Yeshivatenu HaKadosha. And listen to the story. His father, this fella's late father, left the Sefer Torah that he had written and given to the shul. And this shul had a lot of Sefrei Torah in it. V'achshav chadashim mikarav bo'u. Newcomers came around as the rabbinic aphorism. Wise guys, think they know it better than anyone. V'imtziu livdok kol Sefrei Torah. And they said all the Sefrei Torah in the shul have to be checked on the new convention. And here he calls it Mechonat Machshev, the computer machine. Computer belaz. For Koma Gedola Yisrael, him leads all love shul. David told that many Gedola Yisrael, or some Gedola Yisrael, have given Haskamah. How do you say that in English? Haskamah.
Approval,
recommendation that this is fabulous. You'll find all the mistakes. And the Rav of the shul said to me, bring the Torah from your house that occasionally we use in the shul. Well, maybe they use it for houses of mourning, I don't know. And bring the Torah of your house that you inherited. We want to check it with the computer. And if you won't bring it, the Rav threatened him, we will never again read from it in the shul. And the young man is all upset. He says, many years they read from it in the shul. It's considered kosher. No one ever found a mistake. And why is my Sefer Torah any different than any Sefer Torah that was written from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until today? And he says, remember, whenever we had a question in any Sefer Torah, this young man says to Rav Menashe Klein, we gave it to two or three different Magiyim to go through it. And what does this man, Rabbi, want out of me that he threatens me if I won't bring the computer for a computer check? He's going to passel the Sefer Torah and we cannot read it. And Rav Menashe Klein says to him, I understand you know that I'm totally opposed to the computer. And here Rav Menashe Klein goes into a little discourse. Ve'elu hamishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. Pashat mishpatim. Ve'ela. What does that vav mean? Why can't we say, very simply, Eila HaMishpatim. Why do we need a vav? Moshe, why do we need a vav? It makes sense. Modern Hebrew, perfect Hebrew, Binyamin. Eila HaMishpatim. Why do we need a vav? And Reb Menashe Klein says, no, the vav is there on purpose. Mishpatim didn't begin Yeshmein. It didn't begin out of nowhere. The Eila, as a result of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, as a result of Matan Torah, as a result of everything that went on before, Ve'elu HaMishpatim, we continue with Mishpatim. Torah gives us more advice, more ideas, more concepts, more laws. He says we can never forget that there is continuity. For 3,000 years, Sefrei Torah were not checked by a computer. How can you come along now and say if it's not checked by a computer, it will not be kosher? And he's very upset with this rabbi who threatened the young man, your sefer will be pasul. And he says to the young man, this is the Ramari just quoted to you, that we see the Rama says Yitayrat and Kaseirat, we're not medagdeg. If there's a mistake in the Torah, we continue. Who says the other one will be better? And he quotes the Rama, and wow. And he says, all right, this is what Yitzchak was alluding to. Yitzchak, Rabbi Moshe Klein said, look, I can understand that maybe the rabbi means, let's be a little bit more careful. Let's be a little bit more medagdek. It's a chumrah. But it's a chumrah only if you want it. But to go along and say that your Torah is no good after they read from it, after it was read, that it was written, it was checked, it was handled the way Torahs were written for 3,000 years? Absolutely wrong. I do not agree with him. And here he brings another concept. Tell me, Vic, you own a Sefer Torah. You know what a Sefer Torah is worth? You had a Sefer Torah written, your family had it written. You spent $35,000. The average Sefer Torah today. You're getting a good sofa. He's working on it a year. He goes to mikveh every morning. You're paying him $35,000. That includes the computer program and the checks and all. And someone's going to come along and say to you, the Sefer Torah is pasul. They're taking away your money. It's gezel. It's robbery. It's thievery. You paid the money. There's nothing wrong with the Torah. The Torah's been checked. It's fine. It's good. It's been read. No one found the mistake. Now the rabbi declares it pasul, gezel, robbery, plain and simple. It's Rabbi Moshe Klein. You see, Yitzchak, he's very, very strong. He had a reputation of very strong individual. I knew him very well, of course.
He told me, don't have the Torah checked, because those who do the checking have a magia, they're
no gay
of
it,
though. They are looking to find
stuff. But still, I say, Reb Shlomo Zalman was supposed to have the tefillin checked. He said, once tefillin are kosher and put in and sealed, the minute you start pulling it apart and unraveling it, that's where you cause problems. He was upset. He paskind la halacha that you shouldn't check them. All right, we're not nohig that way. But I, believe me, I had my tefillin checked and refurbished, and I haven't touched it since. It's maybe 10 years ago. It's a beautiful pair, and I take good care of it. Someone once said to me, well, Reb Shlomo Zalman took special care of his tefillin. I said, I got news for you. The average Jew takes as good care of his tefillin as any Gadol b'Yisrael. You understand? We take very good care of our tefillin. All right, but let me end off here with one tshuva he quotes. I apologize, but this is in the tshuva. And he tells the following story. This is from the end of the Jew, from the Rabban, from the end of the German Rishonic period. And he tells the following story, that there was klaf, and now you know how klaf is made from the animal, and you have to polish it, you have to soften it, you have to get the klaf writable, that you should be able to write in it, that it takes the ink. So this person, pardon me for saying it, used dog feces to polish the klaf, to clean the klaf. So people started yelling, and they wanted to pasul it. It's not nice. Nu, is there any halacha against using this type of manure to polish the klaf? And they quote the Rishonim that it's perhaps not nice to do, but me'ika hadin, you cannot pasul it. Person paid good money. A person's paid to have it done, a person invested in it, and you're going to pasul the klaf, it's a chepsed meruba. And they didn't want to pasul the klaf made at a time of the Rishonim, where they used feces from dogs, if I'm using the right word, I don't want to use manure, would manure apply here? I don't know, manure is from cows. But they used that type of material to polish the cloth, to soften the cloth, and they didn't want to parcel it because of the money involved. Alachat kama v'kama, where you talk about parceling Sifrei Torah because it was not checked by a computer? Chas v'chalila, it's robbery. It's motzi shemra. What are you saying about the Sofrim? Sofrim are filled with Yirat Shamayim. Sofrim have written Sifrei Torah from time immemorial. How can you say we're going to parcel the Sofrim? He says, Rabbi Menashe Klein says, maybe you want to be machmir on yourself, but chas v'chalila to go and tell a young man, if you don't bring me that Sefer Torah to check with the latest computer program, we are going to declare your Sefer Torah puzzle. Wow. We have a lot more to do in this tshuva. You'll see he turns it into a tremendous hashkafic statement. But it leaves us thinking, where do you draw the line? How do you differentiate? The computer is one thing. The light table is another. I think everyone agrees with me. Drinking water is certainly not a shaila. We forget about the electron microscope, or the electron microscope, if I'm pronouncing it correct.
In the art there, Poskim will say,
Moshe, all I can tell you is, some of the Poskim are Tidin Lateta Tadin, because they're depriving the healthiest vegetables from the Jews.
Water
in New York is not the electron microscope. There they claim that in the water, so you should know, whenever I drank a glass of water in Brooklyn, I held the water up. I have yet to find any thing crawling around in the water. We're not dealing with a primitive community. You're dealing with New York City. You're not dealing with Hong Kong. And Hong Kong today is not primitive either. But I don't want to paskin for New York.
Right.
But I thought you referred to the electron microscope. I've never heard anyone in the world who would ask that. But it's a very interesting question. And this is where we'll leave off today. And he talked about paskin slahalacha, that you can pass a louder Sefer Torah and chas v'chalila, you should say, anyone who has a Sefer Torah that was written before 1988 and was not checked by the latest computer program, you can't read from it. It's puzzle where only humans looked at it. Today we can go way beyond the human being. And you see his whole attitude is the Eilah HaMishpatim, the vav that ties it together. Elu, aid me piyed, but not, it can't be, mi pihem, v'lo mi piyed, v'lo mi piyam etorgamin, v'lo mi piyam computer. He's paraphrasing, obviously. Alright, so this is an open question. I believe it's probably the first time that the computer's been so thoroughly discussed in halachic literature. You can look at the size of his tshuva here. It's not a small tshuva, and it's inevitably all on this topic. And I have interesting sources that he quotes that we'll touch upon next week, that touch into the entire heart of paskening and halacha. But I would differentiate between halacha and hashkafa. And hashkafa, I would always say, look at the chamesh drashot of the Rav, and that will give you some insight, and that will answer Yitzchak's question, how Reb Chaim could be opposed to any form, hints, even a smell of Zionism, and some of Reb Chaim's descendants are among the greatest religious Zionists in the world. What's interesting is, even in the Brisker world today, in the third generation beyond Reb Velvel, there's also some breaks in the wall of total opposition to the religious Zionist reality in the state of Israel. Yes, yes.
The issue of Aguda, for example, they find the corpse, they're not exactly sure. Do they use fingerprints as an evidence? Do they use DNA?
why don't you open up Rakefet Aron Chelik Gimel and all your questions will be answered there. The answer is absolutely. No, but there I don't know if it's an innovation because the halacha is you have to find simanim. The answer is today we have better simanim than we had 50 or 100 years ago. You follow? So there is an answer. Here, it's not so much better edim, it's in this concept like you have an entire new invention. Now, without this invention, it won't be kasher. It's a little bit different.
You can be Menachem
Obel,
or you can be
Levakeh Cholem. Over the phone. So that's a different question. The Rav spoke about that with the Lubavitcher Rebbe.
Really?
Yeah, that's a different question. Can you be Mekayim, Bika Cholem, Michamadu? The answer is very simple, to a certain degree. Ein Adoyma, for instance, gentlemen, why you came to me here to speak with a lady in America who was sitting shiva, and they said to me, she's a great student of yours, a great friend. I talk to know her for many decades, and I said, fine, I'll call her. So, can I say it's the same as going in person? Absolutely not. On the other hand, I certainly have some sort of kiyum there. There's no two ways about it. With Bika Cholem, you see, psychologically, you make the purple person feel better because you care. It shows you care. So that accomplishes something. But it's certainly not the same as Bika Cholem in the sense when you're there and you can help them, etc.
3 hours in the subway.
I'm well aware of it. I'm well aware of it. The older I get, the harder it is to travel. Okay, tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, we're picking up just the way it was. A very, very fascinating lecture. And I hope to get into Peter Bergson to do something which is mamish gemilut chesed of recalling someone who saved tens and tens of thousands of Jews and Reb Lazer Silva and how it came about. Very fascinating. Yitzchak, this is for you. This is for you. Moshe, this is for you. I want to ask you two questions. But wait, just let me hand out the freebies.
Because we have to go.
If anyone here is from High Lai, here's a newspaper clipping 1939 when High Lai began, and who were the rabbis that attended the formal opening in Far Rockaway. Very fascinating. Among them, some conservative rabbis. Here's an unbelievable picture of a marzah put out by a Hasidic Rebbe's family. We're talking a marzah put out in 1833. And in the marzah, here's the prayer for Alexander Nikolaevich and his wife Maria Alexandrovich. Prayer for the welfare of the state. Here are articles, great shahat, what we're going through. The New York Times, American Jews face a choice. This is after the tragedy in Pittsburgh. This article, Gail Beckerman, it's just terrible. Write a whole article. There's only one way the Jew will survive. Shabbat, Kashrut, Tarak, Mishpacha. How these are like idols, without eyes, without minds, without anything. Look at the Pew Report. And worse is her attitude towards Israel, that we're bad to Arabs. Gal, whatever your name is, they're killing us every day. They would do to us 1 million times over. It's a Jew writing. Yeah, what they did in Pittsburgh. Here again, a very interesting article about supporting Israel. That after seeing what went on, this is Melanie Phillips. I believe she's from England. She runs a website, a magazine that is filled with strong support for Israel. Very interesting article. Here is Rabbi Riskin. The article's about Rabbi Branda, but they give Rabbi Riskin the picture. I don't get it. But the change of the king. Raoul Wallenberg, if anyone is interested, a student, a dear friend of mine, his life was saved by Raoul Wallenberg. I took the article out of Wikipedia. Very, very fascinating. If anyone will see Michael Miller, here are two articles. I have two questions I have to ask you. We'll ask tomorrow, or my wife will be angry at me. gentlemen, this is unbelievable. This is Young Israel of Century City, right next to Hollywood, Florida, and they have the top publicists in the world and people who work in Hollywood. This is their adult education program. It is, if you want to see a piece of work, it's candies, all different candies. This one is called Schmutz, this one is called Shtick, Kvetch, this one is called Kvetch, and it's announcing all their lectures. The Young Israel of Central City gets the Aaron Rakefet Award for the greatest publicity for their adult education. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vedanya. Thank you very, very much.
California.
What did I say? Florida?
Florida.
No, Los Angeles. Yeah. Right next to Hollywood, I said.
Hollywood, Florida. Also.
I said, no, you're just Hollywood, Los Angeles. Hollywood, Florida. Hollywood, Hollywood, California.
Who
is that, Rabbi Cohen? No, no. Who's there? The elder senior rabbi, Rabbi Lezer Muskin. And you know how old I am when I remember him as a teenager. And he today is there more than 30 years. And he runs a... He's really... You got to see... I've been there a number of times. It's a pleasure to see him as... He's a third-generation American rabbi. A kendem malacha. That much I can tell you. Kala kavot, kala kavot. And they just built a whole new shul there. Ah, it's unbelievable. But Hollywood, this is out of his shul. What they have here, it's... beyond words. It's a program 1,000 times over. All right, until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vedanya. Vic, I want to wish you a very safe, good trip. Find your sister in good health. Send regards to everyone. And hurry back when you can. Hurry back when you can.
Want to come back?
No?
Okay, so have a good trip.
Whatever you want.